Hello there and welcome to the A to D talk show, where we talk about controversial issues and deliberate on them. We believe that the world is like a coin and it is best to see both sides of it. So come on, join us as we agree to disagree.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, everyone listening here and on the podcast. I hope you have a very wonderful weekend. I hope you're having a very wonderful week. And a very big Merry Christmas to you all. And a very Happy New Year. We hope that 2021 will be better than 2020. But today, we're going to be talking about Martin Luther. And this is a very salient topic because when we hear Martin Luther, a lot of people think I'm talking about Martin Luther King. No, we're talking about Martin Luther, the German priest. Now, a lot of people know him as a reformer. That's people that know Martin Luther as a priest, know him as a reformer. He's the reason why we have Bibles public and Bibles accessible to everyone. He's the hero of Christianity. And without him, we would not have the current Protestant church. And while that may be true, there are dark sides of Martin Luther that we do not know about, or that we know that we do not know about from a large scale because we are not being taught such information in school. So this podcast is going to tell you about Martin Luther, the reformer and the anti-Semitic. You most likely know him as a reformer. So I wouldn't want to spend so much time talking to you about Martin Luther, the reformer. Now, so that I understand the people I'm talking to and the people who are listening to this podcast understand me, I am going to talk a little bit about Martin Luther. I'm going to talk about the Reformation and spend the rest of the time talking about him being anti-Semitic. Now, Martin Luther was born 1483 and he died 1546. He was born in Germany, and he had a whole lot of dreams to become a lawyer, which apparently didn't work out as planned. So he ended up being a Jesuit priest, and ended up, we all know about the 95 theses he nailed on the doors of the Catholic Church, and we all know his saying of salvation is by faith and faith alone. Now, while we all know this, there are some, like I've said, hidden things about Martin Luther. But before I continue, I just want to you guys to help me confirm if you can hear me, just by saying yes, by saying yes so I can hear you. Can you all hear me?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So, now, like I said, I don't want to spend so much time on the Reformation and what Martin Luther did on the Reformation, because I pretty much, that is public knowledge. Now, I want to spend a little bit more time on him being anti-Semitic. Now, first, a lot of people argue that Martin Luther did not or did influence Hitler. So it is a whole lot of back and forth, and nobody wants, no Lutheran, like they call them, want to accept this fact that, see, he actually inspired Mein Kampf, Hitler's the writing. Now, Luther wrote a book titled On the Jews and Their Life and Their Lies. So the name of the book is On the Jews and Their Lies. Now, in this document, he repeatedly attacked the Jews. Now, I find it quite weird that this man who is a Christian, or who supposedly is a Christian or a Catholic, who fought against indulgence, where you have to pay payment to get your sins forgiven or cleansed, that was a practice of the Catholic Church then, suddenly hated the Jews. And our Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ, is a Jew. So I find it quite hard why he went from that, this, you know, holy, puritanical, pious man who was ready to possibly die, proving the fact that salvation is by faith and faith alone. And suddenly, everything just turned around. He now started hating, he started hating the Jews. Now, Hitler himself named Martin Luther as one of history's greatest reformer in his novel, Mein Kampf. And one of the very, very, very strange things is about Martin Luther and his writings is every single thing Martin Luther said as regards to that disdainful thing he said to the Jews inspired every heinous act that the Jews experienced during the Holocaust. We'll see that. Now, if you see where there was a time, even before, during this time of Reformation, he wrote a book that Jesus Christ was born a Jew. So Martin Luther actually, at a point in his time, in his life, loved the Jews, liked the Jews. So he published an essay that Jesus, the name of the essay being that Jesus Christ was born a Jew. So in this particular essay, he urged Christians to treat the Jews more gently and condemn those that treated the Jews in an inhumane manner. This was in 1523. And in 1523, he wrote this. And suddenly in 1543, he's writing on the Jews and their lives. So I begin to wonder what transcended in possibly 20 years that made this guy go from that Jesus Christ was born a Jew, we should treat the Jews as, we should treat them more gently. He condemned all sorts of inhumane acts towards the Jews, to Jews are thieves and liars. Now, in this particular essay, he said, he specifically accused Catholics of being unfair to the Jews, arguing that if I had been a Jew, now this is in quotes, this is Martin Luther saying, if I had been a Jew and I had seen such blockheads govern and teach the Christian faith, blockheads talking about the priests, I would sooner have become a horde than a Christian. They have dealt with the Jews as if they were dogs rather than human beings. They have done little else than deride them and seize their property. And this gainsays everything that Martin Luther talked about in his book, The Jews and Their Lies. So I find it quite weird that there is so much contrast between these people. Now, we would also come to see that this man, after he did all this reformation, he had to be put in prison. You know, the Catholic Church told him that what he was saying was heresy and all sorts of things. And then he was, you know, this guy who was this star. The Jews saw him because of this essay as, this man is for us. This man is, I mean, this is our guy. And then something weird happened. There exists in the Catholic Church then, they call it the Elector. So Elector John Frederick, one of Luther's biggest supporters, made a decree. Now, this is someone who supported Martin Luther when he was a reformer, and when maybe we could say he was a good man. He decreed that all Jews were to be driven out of his electorate. And this is, and one Joseph von Rumhit, I mean, I'm pronouncing it well, a Jew who was a spokesman for the Jews, appealed to Luther for help. See, this guy is a supporter. Tell him that this decree doesn't make sense. And Luther refused to help this guy. And this was in 1536. So a lot of people argue that this was actually the turning point. This was the time where people begin to be, and this is from this time onwards, people began to saw Martin Luther for who he truly was, being anti-Semitic. Now, he continued. When he wrote this, Jews and the Lies, and, you know, people asked, okay, what is the justification of writing on the Jews and the Lies? So this is what he said, Martin Luther, quote, so that I may be found among those who oppose such poisonous activities of the Jews. This is Martin Luther speaking, or this is in his writing, so that I may be found among those who oppose such poisonous activities of the Jews and who want the Christians to be on their guard against them. Now, this is very different from what he wrote when he was talking, when he was urging Christians to be more gentle to the Jews. Now, from this particular point, you would begin to see that Martin Luther started doing a lot of things against the Jews. And this man was, this man was, okay, 400 years after his writing, then we have a man called Hitler. So this is the timeline between these two anti-Semitic people. Now, in this is writing, he also claimed that Jews were idols, they were lazy people, they were useless, they were evil people, and they were blasphemous against God. And his disdainful statement, he continued mentioning it in his book. Now, this is what he said in his book, again, on the Jews and their lies. He said, quote, "We let them get rich on our sweat and blood, while we remain poor," that means the Germans, "while we remain poor, and they suck the marrow from our bones. After ranting and raving about the Jews," end of quote. "After ranting and raving about the Jews, he gave his advice to his fellow Christians. His advice is in form of an 8-point plan to deal with the Jews." So after seeing all he has said in this book about the Jews and how disdainful and how poisonous and how wicked and how they are not even human beings to even, and how you shouldn't even consider them human beings. After he said all these things, after he said all form of disdainful things about the Jews, this man now gives Christians, and I don't know how, see, religion is very dangerous. Religion is very dangerous. And this man gives 8-point plan on how Christians should deal with the Jews. This is horrendous. And you see, what you will notice in this 8-point plan is every single of those 8-point plan that he gave to the Christians to deal with the Jews, guess what? Hitler did it. Then that's what the Nazi Socialist Party did to the Jews. So the first one, Luther told Christians, okay, let me put it like this. Luther told people who followed Christ, people who are supposed, whose faith was based on love and faith, that they should set fire to their synagogue. So Luther said, quote, "Set fire to their synagogues or schools and to bury and cover with death whatever will not burn," end of quote. That's the first thing he told them. So we're talking about the 8-point plan now. The second thing he told them is, "Their houses also be razed and destroyed." Destroy their houses, destroy every form of real estate they have. The third thing he advised to Christians, in this his book, all prayer books, Jewish prayer books, in which such lies, cursing, and blasphemy are taught, be taken away from them. So they should take all their holy books away from the Jews. Martin Luther, remember that we're talking about a man who, you know, the greatest reformer, who went to the Catholic Church and told them that salvation is by faith and faith alone. We're talking about a man who walked up the stairs of a particular cathedral in Rome. I can't remember the name now. On his knees, he walked up a stairs of a particular cathedral on his knees, saying the Lord's Prayer in every step. Now, I tell you, it amazes me how this man changed. Now, the fourth thing he said is, "Rabbis be forbidden to teach henceforth," or "Rabbis be forbidden to," just listen, "Rabbis be forbidden to teach henceforth on pain of loss of life and limbs. That means if you're going to continue teaching, you have to you risk your the very free gift of God to you, which is life. And you stand the chance of losing your limbs. Now the fifth thing he told Christians to do is safe conduct on the highway be abolished completely for the Jews. Sixth thing he said is their tax returns should be prohibited to them, and that all cash and treasures of silver and gold be taken from them and put aside for safekeeping. So just to put it in context, the Jews were very rich in Germany. One of the ways they made money the most was through lending. They lend money out and then they put a particular interest rate on the money. So when you give them back the money, it comes with returns. So he was saying that, see, prohibit it, and that all the cash and all treasures of silver and gold be taken away from them and put aside for safekeeping. Now, the seventh thing he said is, put an axe or a hoe or a spade onto their hands and let them earn their bread in sweat of their brow. Now, the Nazi people took this advice, all these 8 points, they took it, they followed it very scrupulously, that they didn't miss anything. Now, I listed 8 points that Martin Luther advised the Jews to do. Now, the first point I said is set fire to their synagogues or schools and to bury and cover their debts, whatever will not burn. This particular first point advice he gave to the Christians was implemented by the Nazi during the anti-Semitic time of the Holocaust. So they burnt down, the Nazi Socialist Party burnt all sorts of books, schools, synagogues belonging to the Jews. Now, when he said something about the seventh point, where he said put an axe or a hoe or a spade into their hand and let them earn their bread in sweat of their brows, the Nazi took this advice when they implemented concentration camps, where the Jews were forced into hard manual labor. Now, finally, he now wrote, quoting Martin Luther. Now, we're not talking about Hitler. This is everything I'm saying is what Martin Luther has done, put in his book on Jews and their lies. He said, quote, if we wish to wash our hands of the Jews' blasphemy and not share in their guilt, we have to part companies with them. They must be driven from our country like mad dogs. I mean, I don't know how this man went. Like I said, I know how he went from being a reformer to being anti-Semitic. Now, a lot of people begin to argue, and again, people are beginning to argue, was Martin Luther truly anti-Semitic? The reason people have this argument is because the word anti-Semitic, was formed in the 19th century, and people begin to argue that Martin Luther really didn't hate the Jews per se. He hated Judaism. But it's like saying, how do I make an analogy of this now? It's like saying, I don't really hate Igbo people, but I just hate the Igbo tradition. I mean, it just sounds the same. It's almost like saying you don't hate somebody, but you hate all the personalities and attributes of the person. I don't know how that is possible, but that's what people think. I mean, people who are Luthertarians, I mean, something like that, right? And well, why that may be true in the sense of the fact that his concerns were that the Jews were blaspheming against God, and it was very hard for you to convert Jews to become Christians. But again, this is no excuse for everything he wrote. oh, I think I can do something for you guys here, because I am reading what I'm doing from a particular writing. So let me just share my screen, if you please. Yes, I think this is it. So you can see, I think, can you all see my screen? I want to believe, yes, you can. You guys can. Good. Now, this is a particular research paper done. So again, let me just continue. I think this particular research paper was done by Reverend William. No, this was, I don't know who actually wrote this, but Emily Paris, if I'm pronouncing the name well. Now, let's just continue so we finish all this up. Now, this guy continues to, in his disbelief and every form of hatred he can have and disdainful messages he can have as regards to the Jews. Now, let's talk about how this concerns Hitler. Hitler said in the beginning of Hitler's political, I think I have somebody who is trying to join, yes. So in Hitler's political activity, Mein Kampf, this is what Hitler said in his book. And he was discussing about the great warriors, I mean, great people. He said, though not understood by the present, are nevertheless prepared to carry the fight for their ideas and ideals to their end. To them belong not only the true great statesmen, but all other great reformers as well. Beside Frederick the Great stands Martin Luther. Now, you would see that a lot of people, advisors from Hitler, Hitler himself, Hitler's advisors, kept on referencing Martin Luther. And these people were 4 centuries apart, kept on referencing him. Now, this Hitler's educational minister said this, quote, "Since Martin Luther closed his eyes, no such son of our people has appeared again. We shall be the first to witness his reappearance. I think the time is past when one may not say the names of Hitler and Luther in the same breath. They belong together. They are of the same old stamp." I mean, when I was doing my study on this Hitler and this Martin Luther, I thought maybe he just hated the Jews and that was it. But there are more documents, more documentaries, more reports, more papers on this particular guy on Hitler referencing Martin Luther. You see, at the end of the day, religion is just ridiculous. So you will come to see that we end up having a lot of people who end up starting well, either based on, and most of the time it's generally based on religion. On our former previous topic, we talked about King Leopold. What did King Leopold say? Oh, I'm going to DR Congo for missionary evangelism. We want to preach Christianity to them. This is what we want to do. We want to help. We want to draw people to God. And this guy goes and commits one of the greatest Holocaust we can ever see. Killed 15 million Congolese. And the very first thing that started it was he wanted to go and evangelize. Fear religion. Now, when Hitler went to pay tribute to a particular man, I think Hitler paid tribute to him during his acceptance speech. So when Hitler went to pay tribute to Martin Luther, this is what Hitler said. "Through his acts and his spiritual attitude, he began the fight which we still wage today. With Luther, the revolution of German blood and the feeling against alien elements of the Volks was begun." Now, I don't know what happened between Hitler trying to go against the Treaty of Versailles that was imposed on Germany after World War I. I don't know how he went from trying to oppose the Treaty of Versailles to this. But yeah, we have it, right? Now, you guys can comment what you think. You know, reactions and all those things are very much expected. Now, at the end of the World War, a particular editor of the Nazi newspaper was arrested for committing war crime. During his trial, he claimed that, quoting this man, Dr. Martin Luther would very probably sit in my place in the defendant's dock today if this book on the Martin Luther's book on the Jews and their lies had been taken into consideration by the prosecution. Now, this was after World War. He was trying to say, see, everything that we have done for the past 5 years has been inspired by this guy, or for the past decade has been inspired by this guy. And if we are to begin to share consequences of the Holocaust and the things that happened in World War II, Martin Luther will be here. Now, after he was found guilty, he was killed. Now, not only, this is a quote from the person who made this research, not only did Luther influence important Nazi officials, but it has been suggested that he also helped inspire certain major events during that time. Now, you see that Nazi people killed the Jews, shattered their glasses, destroyed hundreds of synagogues. Now, this is the same advice that Martin Luther were giving Christians. And I don't know why he would give Christians such advice. And I don't know why any Christians should even follow that. I mean, Jesus Christ was a Jew. And after all these particular things, and after all these acts of this heroic act of reformation, and this 95 theses against the Catholic Church, and salvation is by faith and faith alone, I don't know how he ended up here. Well, it is one of the very, 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 very important things I want many of us to leave this place with, is to understand that at the end of the day, religion should be feared. We should fear religion. We should fear its effects. And if it's possible, run away from it. And I just want to say something. Am I saying that because Martin Luther was anti-Semitic, towards, because if you know, towards the end of his life, you shouldn't appreciate the works he did as regards to Reformation? Not necessarily. Yes, I agree. Without the Reformation, or the Reformation played a very pivotal role in today's church. But you see, two things, one thing we need to understand is two things can be true at the same time. They can be true and possibly even opposite, but not in the same category. For example, during this time of the Reformation, there was a king in England called King Henry VIII, who was against Reformation, who didn't believe that people should have private interpretation of scripture. And the Pope at that time gave King Henry VIII a title, which is still very much around, which is still very much prevalent in England. He gave him a title called Defender of the Faith. And after he gave this man and this king this very great title because of the things he did, King Henry VIII proceeded to divorce his wife. So he sent a letter to the Pope and said, you know what, I want to divorce my wife. The Pope said, see, under the Catholic Church, we are puritanical, we are pious people, we do not accept divorce. Now, this defender of the faith says, oh, okay. So if you're not going to accept me divorcing my wife, then I think I have to create a new church. And his advisor tells him, oh, king, why would anyone stop you from doing what you want to do? You're the king, so you can go ahead and do what you want to do. That's how the Anglican Church was created. They created the Anglican Church, and then it was called Church of England. This man moved from defender of the faith to attacker of the faith. And he began to seize all the assets of the Catholic Church, everything. He seized everything. Told the Catholic priest that if you're not going to become like a priest under the Church of England, he would be headed. And while he was doing this, he divorced the second wife, got married to the third one. And by the end of his life, I think he realized what he had done. Then he now, even before that, he beheaded two of his wives. This was a man that was defender of the faith. He was defender of the faith, though. He had a title, defender of the faith. The two, three wives he divorced, I think he beheaded two of them, or possibly three of them or so. At the end of his career, or as a king, the man, his advisor, I think his name is Thomas, his advisor ended up being killed by the king. Because the king, you know, when he got old, he became sober. He started thinking about his life and what he had done. And he figured out, oh, the only reason why I have done such act is because of my advisor called Thomas. He should be headed. So religion has played a very terrible role, I mean, to tell you the gospel truth. So this is about Martin Luther. If you have questions, if you have suggestions, if you have things you think I should have explained more on, if you have things you think that I missed, but you can speak more on it, you can just tell me in the chat box. I'll give you the opportunity to speak up. I don't think I'm having anything from anyone yet. So it is just ridiculous how we appreciate the things people do and not really see the other side of it. No, I'm not saying, I mean, at the end of the day, there are going to be things we won't like to hear, but we have to also say it. I'm sure that many people here didn't possibly know about Martin Luther as regards to him being anti-Semitic. So it just shows how bad people can go after being very good people. So now, the quote from the Jews and their lies, this is another quote I think I should also say. The Jews hold we Christians captive in our own land. They have seized our goods by their cost, taxations. They mock and insult us because we work. That sounds like a lot of hate. But again, this is all we need to know about Martin Luther. If there is no comment from any of you, then I would have to end. I'll have to end this particular topic. But again, I just want you guys to tell me how much you have done. Tell me whether you enjoyed it. Just, you know, that'll be a bit of kind of encouragement on my own part. Okay, I enjoyed it, or great work, something like that. Or no, you didn't talk well about it or something. Whatever constructive criticism you want to give. Yes, I'm very open to it. Yeah, so Mbai, see you. Mbai saying people change. People change. It was very informative. Thank you. Yeah, people do change. And it's what I find weird is people change on the basis of religion. I don't know how that happens, but people change on the basis of religion. And again, I think we all need to be very, very careful our own selves. Let's not always think that, oh, we are puritanical, oh, we can't. And then you see yourself going to the wrong. So any more comments, suggestions, things I should have touched on, or any dissatisfaction, any form of dissatisfaction can be expressed, I'm open to it. I'm waiting. I'll just leave a minute for that, hoping that some people are typing. Okay. So, next, just as we're waiting for people, next week, we probably will not have any talk show. This may be even the last talk show for the year. Possible. Next year, we're going to be having African Forum. Let me just talk a little about that so that people here can be very much informed about what we are going to be doing next year. So next year, we're going to be talking about It's going to be African Forum. It's going to be for 8 weeks. Every week, we always talk about particular problem plague in Africa and how to solve it. So it's going to be. We have international guests. So it's not. I don't want us to be talking about Africa and only have Nigerian guests. So we're having some international guests, and what are we going to be talking about? Just a minute, let me find it in this. Yes, I have it now. So the first topic we're going to be talking about next year on the African Forum, one, Africa's history, the lesson for the future. I don't want to go into detail because it takes time. The first topic we're going to have is, I don't know why I'm saying this. This is actually very premier. This is very confidential information because we're supposed to advertise it, but since you guys are here, I'll give it to you guys. First topic is Africa's history, the lesson for the future. The second topic is who to blame, current leaders or colonial masters. You know what that means. These topics are quite very much self-explanatory. The third topic is democracy and Africa, a failed experiment with a question mark. The question mark is trying to say, does democracy truly work for us? And in case any of these topics you want to talk about, you want to be a guest or a panelist in any of these topics, you can message me now privately. Now, the fourth topic is tribalism and religion, the Trojan horse. Pretty much what we're talking about now. The fifth topic is culture and faith, the hope for greater things. Now, you see what I did there, tribalism and religion, the Trojan horse. The fifth one is culture and faith, the hope for greater things. The sixth one is Africa's youth, the hope or the time bomb. The seventh one is Africa awakening the sleeping giant. The eighth one is Africa's future, the history to come. So we are going to be having guests from South Africa. I'm hoping to have a guest from Ghana. We are going to have one from Rwanda, Kenya, and then DRC, and definitely Nigeria. So hopefully, by God's grace, we'll start putting out all these ads and commercials for you to see it. And you guys will definitely get a mail that will speak extensively on it. So with that, I'll read out the comments and end the session. Now, Daniel is saying this was quite informative. Thank you, Daniel. I legit didn't know there was a difference between Martin Luther King and Martin Luther. Thank you, man. You're very much welcome, Daniel. Jake says, I believe everyone should be afraid of the influence of religion, particularly when it is from a misguided authority. And I hold this in what you just said in high regard. And I'll tell you this, that's why I don't go to Protestant churches. I'm sorry to say this, but I don't go to charismatic churches in Nigeria, not because of their bad, not because of they teach the wrong gospel, possibly sometimes they do, but because of this very, you don't have the mind of your own. They almost want to tell you how your life should be, and how they almost want to tell you they almost want to guide almost everything in your life and all. So again, I am very skeptical very, very skeptical about their doctrine. And I tell you, I went to college university and I know what I'm talking about. And to also put it out there, if you listen to my former podcast, you probably also know I was once an atheist. So it wasn't, I'm not even speaking from I'm telling you what, based on my own experience, where they begin to tell you, if you don't pay a particular amount of money, then you can't be great. If you don't tie, things will be tied for you and all sorts of things. And they tell you to sell your father's property or to sell your mother's property or to give it. No. So we need to be very, very guided about that. So thank you very much, Jake. So religion is, Louis, religion is actually one of the most powerful tools. If organizational is a problem, it's a very powerful tool, actually. And I think another very powerful tool that we are seeing right now is identity politics, where, I don't know, this council culture thing. But again, I get you. So thank you very much, you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. I appreciate you all. And people who are listening to the podcast, I appreciate you. I do hope you have a wonderful day. I do hope you have a wonderful week. And I do hope you celebrate this Christmas and you rest. Just rest, please. 2020, just, 2020 has been a very, very ridiculous year. But we thank God for life. But just try and rest and get ready for 2021. Thank you. And I wish I can have the next episode next week. But you probably wouldn't, see me. I may just change my mind. You probably won't hear from me again till next year. Or you may still hear from me, but it won't be a live, it will just be pre-recorded. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And do have a wonderful day.